Good morning. So nice to be here. Kay House said she was going to play one of my tapes this morning, and I said, I can't listen to myself. Has to be something new. It's hard for me to listen to Joel. It's hard for me to listen to yesterday's manna, because each day is new and each day we're fed. And if we're fed daily, we're always on the beam of life. What came to me in my meditation was the recognition of the motherhood of God in the United States of America. Mrs. Eddy and Myrtle Fillmore, and the two ladies, I can't remember their name, in Denver that started the Divine Science Church. Out of these women, as the message that these women brought to light in America opened the world to a new age. Up to that time, mind was not understood. And these women understood that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was father, mother, child. The child was always the spiritual idea of the union of spirit and soul. And so these women were great souls. They were living souls that brought forth the spiritual message of their day, which revealed that mind is universal and it isn't the same as a brain. The brain is an organ of the body, but mind is a universal. Well, they as metaphysicians thought of it as God. We see it as an avenue of awareness. But what happened was that through this understanding, consciousness opened, and we had Edison bringing forth electricity. We had the telegraph. We had the radio. We had automobiles, things that had never been for thousands of years, never had been created. And why? The same mind was there, but the misunderstanding of the nature of mind, that it was an avenue of awareness, and that through the mind, the spiritual idea of omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience unfolded. Omnipresence appeared as a telegraph, as the radio, later as the television, now as the all the electronic things. Why was that? It was these great women, and that's the motherhood of God. Omniscience, a mother, this faculty to be able to release all human planning and all human imagination, to release that and be completely empty, is a feminine aspect of deity, its receptivity. And it was through this aspect that these great ideas were able to take form and express themselves, so that showing that when we pray, it's never the words or the thoughts or the ceremony. It is our inner silence and receptivity in the recognition that we live in a spiritual universe. We don't live between two kingdoms, two universes. If you think that, then you're putting off your experience of wholeness. We live in a spiritual universe, perhaps having a human experience, but that's an experience, just a minor experience. If we're having daily meditations where we have conscious union with God, with Spirit, we're being made whole, because in this communion of soul and spirit, there is wholeness and completeness. And since mind is the substance of what we call matter, then in that spiritual wholeness, the material sense changes to wholeness, so that we are constantly in our meditations. When we go into that emptiness and let go of all personal sense, all personal accomplishments, all personality, we let go of that and we feel that emptiness, then we're in our soul awareness, which is receptivity. It's the Holy Mother of what? Of every spiritual idea, which in turn becomes every grace that humanhood could enjoy. So this is the act of inner communion and prayer. Our part is always the motherhood of releasing the mental level of plotting, planning, achieving, getting. None of that. That's all material sense. And have a love affair with the Holy Spirit. Feel the joy that comes with that cohabitation, with that oneness, where the Spirit fructifies you in your soul with new energy, new ideas, new strengths, new wisdoms, new visions. And this is mystical living. This is living out of your motherhood of God, your soul center, where all the good flows. I get so tired in my emails I get from old-time metaphysicians that they want to heal this and they want to heal that, their sore toe or their tooth or their eye. And I think, it's so dumb. I said, why not have a whole new body? Why not be completely restored and every whit whole? Why not go for the whole idea of wholeness and completeness? But I find that many, many people cannot let go of personal sense, and it's the devil. If there's a devil, there's personal sense. The little me, the little I, that wants to get, achieve, be the big shot. It's always that way. So motherhood is a wonderful, wonderful aspect of the Holy Trinity. And it works out in physical sense as men and women. But each of us, whether you're a man or a woman, you're balanced. You're manhood supports your womanhood, and your womanhood supports your manhood. We all have, we're complete in Him. We all are complete in Him. It's true, when we're young, we don't know that. And so we seek that in another form, and that's a joyous experience. I think motherhood on the human plane is a wonderful experience, the happiest of one's experience as a young person, to see the recognize that God is the only creator, and then recognize what comes forth as a joyous being where life is a continual ecstasy. It's a wonderful experience. So, but then we go mature, and we want to keep that joy going, and to keep that joy alive, we have to learn to pray right. And when we learn to pray right, we find that for our part in prayer is to surrender to the Father within, who doeth the work. We find that true prayer is resting in the realization of omnipotence. No power. Resting the mind, resting the body, not thinking, not a lot of stuff going on, but resting the mind, alert, alive, in the moment. And every problem then that comes to you when you learn to rest in omnipotence, the answer comes to you. And a new idea, way of making and improving. You're continually improving on the art, whatever it is, whatever the art is. Because as you rest in omnipotence, newness of life keeps recharging you. And you listen to omniscience. That's your mother. That's where the gestation takes place. I remember years ago, a man in our church who was a young man. He was an engineer, an aeronautical engineer. And he had about 16 inventions. He was one that put the airplane, wipers on the airplane, and many different de-icers. He invented that many. And I said, where do you get your ideas? And he says, oh, when I'm traveling from job to job, I'm always there. I listen and the ideas come to me and I write them down. So he was meditating, wasn't he? He was drawing upon, he had the aeronautical engineering, but he knew omniscience was there. And omniscience had the highest answer for that, whatever the problem was. But he said, when I need an answer, I just get an airplane and I can go. I get my answers. And I found, too, that when I was flying, I would get tremendous inspirations in the old days. Flying now isn't conducive to inspiration. It's like traveling on a rickety bus. But in the old days, it was really a joyous activity. So that I know one time this man I'm talking about, his name was David, he, for some reason, had an interview with Einstein. I think Einstein was a professor at that time at one of the Eastern universities. And Einstein was questioning about, when he heard about all of his inventions, he said, well, how do you work? And he said, I just empty my mind of all corrosive thinking, and I just sit there empty and I wait, and then it comes to me. And he didn't say, because I know omniscience is there, he just said, and Einstein said, well, that's the way I work too. So this is the way you draw upon the infinity of spiritual ideas. that minimized, well, what has it done? It's eliminated almost time and space, hasn't it? These little things that everybody's using. I don't know. Perhaps the next generation will just come with fingers. Because it's also right there, right now, at the moment, that you're in contact with all over the world. And it's so wonderful. When I pull up my computer and see the emails from Australia, New Zealand, France, England, it's so wonderful, I think. And that tape group that's on every Saturday, it has, I think, 144 countries tuned into that tape group. India and in Africa, in China, in Australia, and South Africa, and South America, all over. So there's an awakening up, and the motherhood is so necessary for this awakening, for us to be still and train ourselves to live in the moment and not ruminate. You know what that, ruminate over the past and over your mistakes and ruminate over the future. You know, don't do that. It's like putting up a screen and leave your mind free. Stay awake, alert, aware. Live in the moment. And I know it's hard, especially for me. I've got so much human history, and so much of it was good that it's so easy to just go off in a dream world and wander around in the past and enjoy all those, relive those wonderful experiences. But you know that isn't profitable. The profitableness is to be available for divine love, which is the whole, the real essence of God is love. And for it knows our need before we do, and have short meditations throughout the day. I'm listening. You got anything to say? And just keep open so that you are always ready. What is that thing? Semper paratus. Always ready. What is that? It's a Coast Guard, isn't it? Motto, always ready, always prepared to be there. You're always there whenever the need is. That's the healing consciousness. See how easy it is? It's not doing anything. It's being whole. You're whole. You're a holy instrument, a whole being. And if there is anything wrong with your body, if you don't keep magnifying it with your mind, it'll drop away. It'll just drop away because it's not of God. God didn't make it. God doesn't know it. So how can God heal it if God doesn't know it? It'll just fall away if you don't keep nourishing it. And that's the hard part. When something hurts, you want to nourish. You say, oh, my knee, or oh, my this, or oh, my that. But pretty soon, if you have, every time there is that feeling of going back and honoring some misery in you, you stop and say, oh, no, I'm going to honor what is. Is alone overcomes the world, and what is I and my Father one. I am a whole soul being. My spirit, my soul, my mind, and my body are in alignment. And I'm walking that line, and whatever is not by God cannot last. It is a nothingness, and I don't have to try to get rid of it. If you try to get rid of it, you're going to have a trying time. It's a battle. And the battle is not yours, it's God's. God is the light of the world. And whatever the problem is but a shadow. And just let that light be the light. And you know when you're in the light because you're happy. You're light. You're free. You don't have any cares. You're not necessarily going around singing hymns, but you could be. But anyway, you're happy and joyous and free, and your whole soul being. And actually, that's your motherhood. That's your motherhood. Your fatherhood is the action. But that action is a resting in action for us, because omnipotence really is no power in anything if you can touch it, smell it, see it, feel it, or hear it. It has no power. All power is in consciousness. The consciousness that I am is my conscious awareness is omnipotence. So when I am consciously aware that somebody is struggling, I can be still and peaceful and be helpful. I don't have to give them any suggestions or tell them anything. All I have to do is just be still, compassionate, not judging, not criticizing, not condemning, no opinion. We are the less opinionated people in the world, really, because we know that we're actors on a stage in this world, but the script is already written, and the script says the kingdom of heaven is here and now. Wake up and enjoy it. Awake thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. And the Christ is that silent witness inside of you that is always there. Don't you feel sometimes when you're silent, there's something there with you? It is. That's your true being. It's always there. And that's your God being. And that will walk through you, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will be with you. Always there. So we have really nothing to fear and nothing to hate, because it's like seeing a movie and all these things are going to pass away that are not, have no reality and not of God. And if we fight them, we give them energy. If we try to get rid of them, we give them energy. Our resistance, resist not evil. Why? Because if you resist it, you give it the only power it has. And then what happens? You get into an argument. Then you get into an argument, and there's a winner and a loser, isn't there? Don't get into the argument. Joel said attorneys and bookkeepers would be the last in the kingdom of heaven. Because they always have an answer. True, it's hard. You cannot have an argumentative mind. Don't ever get into an argument. And I'm speaking as a top-notch arguer who died very hard. But it doesn't profit you anything. No. And if you're going to live this life of joy and peace and harmony, you're going to smile instead of argue. Everybody has a right to their point of view. And so you give them that freedom. You give everybody their freedom. So this makes life, the motherhood of life is really love, Joel. This we have. All that constitutes motherhood is a bundle of love. That's there. All there is to Mother's Day is love. And I agree with that. Wherever there is motherhood, there is brotherhood. Yes. The motherhood of God is the real relationship of motherhood on earth. And the motherhood of God is always watching. It's a watchful nature. They watch the animals if they don't get into something, fight. They watch the children. They watch their husbands have clean clothes, eat the proper food. They're always watching. Watch, watch, watch and pray. They're watch keepers. They stand upon the watch. They're always watching. That's what a mother is. And always correcting the child in a sweet way, in a nice way. And how do we correct a child spiritually? Well, you usually say to a child, well, you are the expression of God. You are love in action. Is that the loving thing to do? And let them decide, and they say, no, it isn't. Then say, well, then why do it? Is that the helpful thing to do? No, then why do it? Is that the kind thing to say? No. No. Your children know. Then why do it? So you can learn to correct without corporal punishment, and you can point the way, but most important, it's to live the way. To live out from your soul and not from your conditioned mind. Recognize your conditioning. We all have lots of conditioning. We have racial conditioning and female conditioning and food conditioning and monetary conditioning. And look at it. Say, is that a conditioned response from me? If it is, I'm going to die to that. And die daily to that conditioned response. Until you have so unconditioned your mind and your responses that you are like a little child. You're spontaneous and joyful and free and enjoying all the good and lovely things of this world and not experiencing any of the negative things of this world. Well, let's have a moment of meditation now in our motherhood. That loving, peaceful state of being that has no desire, no wishes, and no wants, because it knows that in my conscious oneness with God, I'm one with all spiritual being and idea. That means I'm all one with all the good of God. The good that God is, and God is infinite good, and that good pours forth in infinite form and variety, and that grace is always operating. In my Father's house, my Father's consciousness, there are many, many degrees of spiritual unfoldment. and all of them are graceful, truthful, full of beauty, joy, and bliss. So we see that in our motherhood we heal without words and thoughts. We heal by being that bliss, that peace, that joy, that freedom that is never bound by human thinking. Thank you. I didn't know there was going to be yellow today, and I wore yellow. One mind.